Have we all been witnessing a young conman walk away with billions after selling out Yemen, Khashoggi, and the United States? With virtually no questions from mainstream media or Congress, the son of a professional grifter, Charles Kushner, who was pardoned by Trump, and a minor slumlord, Jared, is said to have gotten advice from a PR professional when his father went to prison. Ben Walsh noted for Huffington Post that Jared's dad tells the story that his PR friend advised Jared. Step 1. Buy a New York newspaper. Don't be too particular. Any newspaper will do. Step 2. Buy a big Manhattan building. Any building will do. Step 3. Marry the daughter of a rich New York family. Anyone will do. Jared, the story goes, then purchased the New York Observer newspaper, overpaid for 666 Fifth Avenue office building just down the street from Trump Tower, and now impressively credentialed as a serious guy hooked up with Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka. From there, it was a straight shot to the White House and then cashing in with $2 billion from Saudi Arabia, authorized by MBS, who had no override his investment advisors to hand the cash to Jared, which is a crime. U.S. Constitution contains two emollient clauses both forbidding officials from taking gifts from foreign governments. The most well-known one in Article 2 forbids presidents from taking what could be bribes. The second, from Article 1 of the Constitution, forbids such behavior by anybody working in the federal government without the explicit permission of Congress. No person holding any office of profit or trust under the United States shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. As the Congressional Research Service, CRS, notes, the purpose of the Foreign Emoluments Clause is to prevent corruption and limit foreign influence on federal officers. The clause grew out of farmers' experience with the European custom of gift-giving to foreign diplomats, which the Articles of Confederation prohibited. Following that precedent, the Foreign Clause prohibits federal officers from accepting foreign presents without congressional consent. History will tell us if Jared Kushner sold out his country and damaged the prospects for peace in the world by helping MBS rise to power and then push Saudi Arabia toward other countries just to get his hands on a few billion dollars. But that story is being written today. And if there was ever a scandal more worthy of a DOJ and congressional investigation than Benghazi or Hillary's emails, this is it.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us today on our show is our dear friend and esteemed guest, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic scholar at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Our question today has been asked by some parents, Muslim parents, of course, believing parents. They say, what can we do for our children so that they may end up in heaven?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There are many points to be mentioned in as the answer to this question, but we may put them together under the title of Islamic upbringing.
Right.
And of course, in this program, we do not have time to talk about all the details. And I just share a couple of points which might be of
more
significance. And the first point that I would like to share is the fact that Islamic upbringing begins from before the birth of a child. And this shows the importance of the halal food, of, and halal income. Many narrations tell us that when, of course, the time of the intimate relationship, there are a couple of points that the parents need to take into consideration. They can find it in the books of Islamic upbringing.
So there's some pre-stages.
Exactly. Right. And then when the food that the mother, before giving birth to the child, is consuming is very important. Of course, not only in that period, in our whole lifetime, the food, matters a lot. It plays a key role in Islamic upbringing for our children, for our wives, and so on.
It isn't only bodily nourishment, it's also spiritual nourishment.
And we have so many, powerful narrations about the importance of halal income. And then the food that we
halal
buy, food that halal income.
And avoiding haram food, because we even have a narration that says that the Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed by the people who were eaters of haram food.
Exactly.
To that extent.
Yeah. And I think Imam Hussein alayhi salam told them that you are fighting me because of the fact that your bellies are filled with haram food.
Right.
By haram food, Imam didn't mean pork. He meant that halal food, but bought by the haram income and haram
by illegal means,
exactly.
By unlawful means.
Exactly.
Right.
Let me share some narrations in this regard. In one case, it's been mentioned that the Holy Prophet was advising the Muslims about, kind of Islamic upbringing. And then the Holy Prophet told them that train your children while they are in the wombs of their mothers. The Muslims were surprised and asked the Prophet for more explanation that how we can do that while they are not yet born. And the Prophet said that by giving halal food and pure food to their mothers.
Right.
Again, the Holy Prophet for sure doesn't mean that haram food. He means you need to have a pure, income,
right.
A halal income, so that you are able to buy halal food. It's been mentioned in the Quran, chapter Mu'minun, for example, verse 51, that Ya ayyuha ar-rusul kulu min at-tayyibat, O messengers, eat of the good things, wa'amalu salihan, and act righteously. Inni bima ta'amaluna alim, indeed I know best what you do. Now, this verse is addressing the prophets and asking them that kulu min at-tayyibat, to eat from the good things and pure things. So this is again showing the importance of eating pure
and clean Islamic nourishment.
Exactly. So I think this is one of the duties, especially of the fathers, even before the birth of the children. And then when they are born, from the time that they are born, we have some Islamic laws. Some of them are obligatory and some of them are recommended. I ask the dear listeners to search for the rights of the children upon their parents. Like, when in some cases we may take them lightly, but they are in the long term they are serious. Even the names. In many narrations, we are told some. About the way that we name our children. It plays
a very important part.
Yeah,
right.
We may not understand all the realities, but this is how the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have told us, that be careful in terms of, choosing a
name,
good name for your
It's actually
children.
A right for the child
exactly.
over his father,
rights.
That his father chooses for him a good and virtuous name.
Exactly. And then we come to, again, continuing to giving them halal food and then Islamic training, sending them, I mean, teaching them the Quran, teaching them the religious knowledge. This is one of the duties of the parents, especially of the father. Nowadays, many fathers, they think that this is the duty of the mothers to teach the children the right knowledge that they need. But according to the narrations to begin with, this is the responsibility of the father. The father may ask his wife to do that, but to begin with, this is his responsibility.
This is duty. Islam, it is not the duty of the mother.
And unfortunately, nowadays, we see that even among Muslim parents, they are very careful about secular knowledge, but when it comes to the religious knowledge, they do not pay much attention. Right. I mean, they just want their children to become doctors, physicians, engineers, I mean, great jobs. But when it comes to, I mean, teaching them how to say the prayer, unfortunately, we see that in many cases, given that the parents know how to say the prayer, but they are not, I mean, taking time to teach
them the proper methods.
Or even asking some teachers to do that. So if you're not able to do that, you need to send them to some schools, to some teachers to teach them, like reading the Quran, reciting the Quran, the prayers, and all the Islamic laws. So
it's not focused upon as much as we would like.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, you'll find your way. So I think these are some of the main important points that as parents we need to pay attention to. As I mentioned, the halal food, halal income, sending them to good schools, especially those people who are not living in Islamic countries, they need to be very careful when it comes to choosing a very good school. And even within Islamic countries, not all the schools are the same.
Right.
So we need to be very careful about
that. Even that, there is not enough. Yeah. Because we see so many parents, they focus on the giving them, providing their children a good education, and they should. That is your duties. And then they also think about their hobbies, outdoor activities, and all kind of stuff. But they neglect the very important part, the basis of everything, the Islamic education. Mm-hmm. And I know many people in the U.S. who grown up, they do not know a lot about Islam.
They do not know.
And so whenever they are faced with questions from non-believers or from people critical of Islam, and they cannot answer them, and they start to see the logic in the arguments that they are faced with, they start, unfortunately, to go away from Islam.
And the other point regarding this issue is that many parents are not updated, up-to-date.
Knowledgeable themselves,
They want to teach their children the way that they were taught by their children. And it's been mentioned by in the narrations that you need to, I mean, treat your children based on the requirements of their time.
That's what Imam Ali says.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
the narration. So when it comes to our time, we know that I mean, our children are living in an atmosphere which is, I mean, 180% different from the time that we were living. I mean, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, everything is changed. And that is why the parents also should look for new ways for teaching religious knowledge to their children.
And not only that, they should also update themselves, as you said, about these. We have so many new scholars or books of scholars that are available online, mm-hmm. there are lessons, there are courses, books you can read, how to raise your children Islamically.
And sometimes the questions that are raised by the children are surprising. I mean, as parents, we didn't think about them. And now a child, our child who is only maybe 10 years old, he's asking or she's asking all these questions.
Right.
So as you rightly mentioned, we need to update ourselves too.
It starts with the parents' education first.
Yeah. And last but not least, we need to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to do all these actions which are necessary. Right. But at the end of the day, tawakkul, trusting God, I mean, and tawassul, asking the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam for help is also a very important. As parents, we may do everything, but at the end of the day, everything is not
in our
hands. Yeah.
Yes.
So tawakkul and tawassul, resorting to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, are very important. And finally, I may refer to some prayers and supplications which are mentioned in the Noble
Book of Quran
about this.
MashaAllah, yeah. Right.
So, for example, we have a couple of verses in the Noble Book of Quran that are recommended for parents to read for the well-being, spiritual well-being of their children. For example, chapter 4, verse 74. Because of the shortage of time, I do not translate. The verse reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. Chapter Al Imran, verse 38, رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء. Chapter Ibrahim, verse 40, رب اجعل لي مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي, which shows the importance of especially salat and prayers and the fact that we need to pay careful attention when it comes to salat, especially. Chapter Ahqaf, verse 15, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Chapter Baqarah, verse 128, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتَنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. I'm just reading one part of the verse.
Right.
And then we have, these are verses in the Noble Book of Quran that as parents we are highly recommended to read. And we have a couple of supplications and prayers. For example, Allahumma ja'al awaqib awladi khayra, which is especially about asking God for making the destiny of our children to end in a good way. Allahumma akhtim la awladi bil khayr wal afiyah. And a special prayer mentioned in Sahifa Sajjadiyah, which is about the dua for our children. In one part of it, we read, Allahumma wa munna alayya bi baqa'i wuldi wa bi islahihim li wa bi imtahi. So these are some of the supplications and prayers that are highly recommended for parents. As I mentioned, we need to do all our responsibilities, but the spiritual way also matters. Tawakkul, tawassul, right. And reading all these prayers and supplications.
Again, we may refer our listeners to many books are available online about this very topic, not just necessarily Islamic upbringing. There may be a shortage. At least we do not have translated works into English. But there are many theological books, aqaid, as we call them, or kalam, about why it is that we believe in these beliefs that we have. Because in aqaid, as we all know, taqleed is not permissible. You must have faith in this. And if the parents themselves do not have faith in this, they do not have the arguments for believing in this, how can they expect their children to do that?
Yeah, and thank you for raising this point, because the way that as parents, we need to teach our children is very important. Nowadays, we have some experts who know how to, for example, when it comes to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, we have here in Qom some special experts who, their expertise is to teach Mahdawiya only to children,
right.
To kids, to teenagers.
Yes.
So as parents, if we do not have that knowledge, we may ask those experts to come and teach our children.
Right, that is also an option as well.
Exactly.
Dear Sheikh, I would love to continue this discussion, but we are out of time. So I thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And for spreading your knowledge to all of us. May we inshallah benefit from it. And also thank the listeners for tuning in. And I hope that the question was answered in a proper and good manner. Until next time, fi amanillah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة
بات من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and may God accept your fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan. We now present you a short but sweet supplication to God Almighty at the time of breaking the fast by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. O Allah, we have fasted for you, and open it with the food provided by you. Accept it from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearing and the all-knowing.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A child-sized doll screams and rolls its eyes while lying on a table as engineer Hiroki Takimoto looks on calmly. But instead of being a child's toy, the doll is a humanoid robot mimicking critical medical symptoms designed to train dental workers. The robot was co-developed by Japanese robotic startups Team Sock and a local dental school. Pediaroid was designed to stimulate a child's responses when receiving dental treatment, including changes to its medical condition. Using a tablet programmed with different medical conditions, the user is able to send signals to air cylinders installed within the robot's joints to move its entire body, mouth, and tongue to display physical reactions and facial expressions.
Medical workers really need to experience medical emergencies. It's important that they experience a situation where something goes wrong and that's what it can simulate. As for the future, we would like to further develop it in such a way that various other people who are involved with childcare, such as mothers, elementary school teachers, childcare workers, and nurses, can experience emergency simulations.
Director of TeamSock's engineering division, Yusuk Ishii, said the robot was developed due to the lack of clinical dental training to treat children. Currently, at a hefty price tag of about 25 million Japanese yen, TeamSock hopes to develop the hyper-realistic robot further such that people from other childcare industries, including pediatricians and elementary school teachers, would be able to use it for other emergency situation training. Iran has hosted an iftar dinner in support of Palestine amid a rise in Israel's violence against Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan. Yusuf Jalali reports from Tehran. Let's check it out.
Turn the pot over to let the tasty maqluba slip into the dish. Maqluba is a Palestinian upside-down rice, usually cooked with chicken or lamb. Now, these Iranian and Lebanese women have taken part in a group cooking of maqluba as a solidarity gesture with Palestinian women amid the escalation of the Israeli violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. They say maqluba is not just a delicious food, but a symbol of the downfall of Israel.
Maqluba is indigenous to the Levant area, such as Lebanon, Syria, and especially Palestine. The last stage of the food's recipe is to run over the pot that contains the food. Today, it has become a symbol of victory for Al-Quds and a defeat for Israel.
Turning over the pot symbolizes the downfall of Israel. Interestingly, Israel has imposed a ban on the entry of pots into Al-Aqsa Mosque since they have come to learn about what it means to turn over the maqluba pots.
Since the start of the month of Ramadan, Israeli forces have been assaulting Muslim worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, injuring scores of people. The escalation in tensions has drawn worldwide condemnation, with protesters calling on the UN to take action to end the regime's crackdown against Palestinians.
Palestine is for Palestinians. Israel has been repeating its barbaric behavior towards Palestinians since 7 decades ago, and today it has taken its violence to another level by doubling down on its use of force. I think they are angered by Palestinians' resistance, and that's why they have resorted to violence.
This humanitarian move is one of tens of solidarity gestures staged in Iran and worldwide in support of Palestinians. The event also comes ahead of the International Quds Day, a global pro-Palestine rally that takes place every year on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan.
Enjoy the maqluba and wish Palestinians good luck in their struggle against occupation. Chefs here say, aside from symbolizing the victory of Al-Quds against occupation, this event seeks to raise awareness of the Palestinian suffering and to call on other nations to jump on the wagon and voice their support for Palestine's resistance. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning 3 millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era. Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago, but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the U.S. and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do. And there, you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, today's special. Salaam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. Please be with us.
Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
At first, we open the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 28th of the month of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of the month of Ordibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. These are verses 35 to 38 of Surah Ar-Rahman from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Yursalu alaykuma shuwadhum min narin wa nuhasun fala tantasiran.
There will be sent upon you a flame of fire and smoke, and you will not defend yourselves. So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny? And when the heaven is split open and becomes rose-colored like oil, so which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse 37 is saying that when the heaven is rent asunder and turns rosy like molten oil, horrible incident shall occur such that no one may bear them. All the blessed Quranic verses concerning resurrection clearly reflect that the present order of the world shall be disturbed on that day and very horrible incidents shall occur throughout the world. Stars, planets, the earth shall undergo alterations and incidents shall occur which may not be imagined by us and incidents shall occur which may not be imagined by us. Instances of such incidents include tearing asunder of celestial bodies turning rosy like molten oil. You are with today's special, and as I told you before, we're going to speak about keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. Dear brothers and sisters, most people associate Ramadan with abstaining from consuming food and drink from sunrise to sunset. It is, after all, one of the five pillars of Islam and is a practice all Muslims of age must observe, bearing such exceptions during this holy month. However, as one of the most important months in the Muslim calendar, Ramadan also encourages Muslims to do more than avoid eating and drinking during specific hours. Through the practice of fasting, this month encourages us to reflect upon ourselves and our faith, practice patience, self-discipline, and kindness, and strengthen our bonds with our fellow humankind. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with our duties regarding safeguarding the effects of the month of Ramadan in us throughout the year. We find that in the month Ramadan, we endure thirst and hunger for the sake of observing fasting rituals and the Ramadan rituals. However, we find that this is the least level in the case of a piece of hadith issued by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Whenever so long as anybody observes the rites and rituals of the month of Ramadan and is in a state of fasting, not only they should abstain from eating or drinking, rather they must keep away from listening to backbiting, or for example they have to consider how to control their eyesight, okay, not casting a look at anything that might come, especially for example casting a look at for example ladies and girls to whom we are not permitted to gaze or to look at. Or, for example, we have to consider piety in terms of properties, in terms of not committing any wrong to the rights of other people, and so on. Based on such indications and instructions as issued by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, it's indicated that fasting in its best form can be found and can be expected to be available only when people consider all aspects of fasting, social aspects, or whether individual aspects or social aspect of fasting.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
The continuation of today's special by ways to practice Ramadan values throughout the year. At first, a little bit of charity helps a lot. Zakat Fitrah is a mandatory charity that must be paid by all Muslims during Ramadan. If you have the means, practicing charity throughout the year is a great way to assist those in need while doing good for your soul. I can offer you some tips. Don't wait until a disaster strikes to practice charity. Instead, try giving small monthly donations to charitable bodies that need our assistance. The other one is, instead of throwing away used items like clothes, furniture, books, electronics, and so on, donate it. The other one, try volunteering. It's a good way to foster bonds with your community and see life from a different perspective. They say charity begins at home. Help a friend, relative, or neighbor if they are in a bind. Generously tip your rider or treat your neighborhood or apartment guards to a meal every now and again.
Allah, 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 Allah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu.
Now, let's look at the health benefits of fasting backed by science. Dear friend, in this part of today's special, we have one health benefit, and that is promotes blood sugar control by reducing insulin resistance. Several studies have found that fasting may improve body sugar control, which could be especially useful for those at risk of diabetes. In fact, one study in 10% with type 2 diabetes shows that short-term intermittent fasting significantly decreased blood sugar levels. Meanwhile, another review found that both intermittent fasting and alternative day fasting were as effective as limiting calorie intake at reducing insulin resistance. Keep in mind, though, that some studies have found that fasting may impact blood sugar levels differently for men and women.
There's a beautiful hadith from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen where he says, إِنَّ لِلْقُلُوبِ إِقْبَالًا وَإِدْبَارًا. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says that the hearts, our hearts have moments where they advance towards Allah. And we also have, there are moments where the heart retreats. It tries to move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Imam gives very important advice that most of us don't actually apply. The Imam alayhi salam, he says, فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَتْ فَحْمِلُوهَا عَلَى النَّوَافِلِ. When you feel that your heart is inclined towards God. And sometimes you have those moments where you feel spiritual, where you're in the mood to worship. So the Imam says, فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَتْ فَحْمِلُوهَا عَلَى النَّوَافِلِ. When the heart is inclined towards Allah, take advantage. Meaning, do recite those supplications. Perform those superfluous prayers. Do the nawafil. And then the Imam says what? وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ فَاقْتَصِرُوا بِهَا عَلَى الْفَرَائِضِ. But when you feel that your heart is not inclined towards God, if you feel that spiritual heaviness, and this happens to all of us, there are days where you're just not in the mood for worship. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says that on those days when you're having your spiritual low, your spiritual lows, just stick to the wajibat. Don't pressure yourself to go beyond that.
Inshallah, we continue our topic that was keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive on the another episode of today's special. Until then, we keep you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
والغفران ومجالسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.